This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
If an earthquake, fire, flood, or storm were to affect your neighborhood, would you be able to save the human and animal members of your family? But you have time. What are the chances you'll need to worry about it? Sadly, as emergency situations seem to be affecting more and more people with increased frequency, fire, police, and emergency first responders can easily become overwhelmed. You need to prepare, and you need to prepare now. But what do you need at home, at work, and in your car? My guest is an expert in emergency preparedness. Unfortunately, she has recently been involved in too many events that have put her knowledge into action in her hometown area of Southern California. Darlene Geeky is a registered veterinary technician, veterinary practice owner, and president of VEMA Incorporated, Veterinary Emergency Medical Assistance, makers of the only pet emergency pet kit, specifically made for animals by veterinarians. So we'll be right back after the short break on information that is really critical for you and your animals. Stay tuned. As you know, I love pets. I have two cats, and they have made my home their home. I just pay the mortgage. My bed, I got a bigger one. Why? Because the cats sleep on it. And yes, when you're sleeping with cats, you have to extricate yourself sometimes because you dare not move them. That is their space. That's all the stuff that I can live with. What I can't deal with is a messy litter box that stinks. So I use Arm & Hammer Clump & Seal. It clumps tight around the odor and destroys it for 7 days of an odor-free home. Guaranteed. I do recommend, however, that you scoop daily. But sometimes life gets in the way, because I find an odor-free home is a happy home for me and my cats. Arm & Hammer, more power to you.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Darlene, thank you so much. I know we've tried to set up this interview several times and haven't been able to do it because you've been involved in emergency situations right in your backyard. How many have you been involved with recently?
Well, this year alone, we've had probably six or seven because we had the earthquake. And then we had five fires just recently in the last month. And then the fires prior to that.
So you're probably taking a well-deserved rest and trying to recoup after just the sheer trauma. And speaking of trauma, I think all of us have seen TV footage, coverage, news coverage of people being evacuated from the campfires here in California. Hurricane Katrina, I think, really comes to mind for a lot of people, of people being evacuated. And as you're being evacuated, so many people either, number one, didn't want to evacuate. They wanted to stay behind with their animals because they couldn't take their animals with them. Or they left them behind thinking, oh, they'll be safe. Tell us about evacuations. I believe that there's now national legislation that people have to be able to take their animals to shelters, and the shelters have to accept them. But is that all shelters?
No. So, in the last 5 years, our disasters have grown, and we're hoping, I think the message now is about preparedness and evacuation and how there aren't enough first responders. So 49% of people in the U.S. still believe that first responders are going to come in and help them, and there aren't enough. And we have to really understand that. the legislation really doesn't force anybody to be prepared. There are some bills that we're trying to get passed to hopefully require larger facilities, businesses, rescues, even boarding facilities to have enough crates. But it really is up to the individual person to be prepared and make sure that they have crates. Not all shelters accept pets. The Red Cross, it's a very new thing for them in this past year that they are allowing pets into shelter, but there's a lot to navigate that they're still trying to figure out. One, it's up to the individual shelter whether they will allow pets in. Two, you need to have a crate. You can't be allowed in the shelter without proper crate for your pet, whatever that may be. In the state of an emergency, it is the law that a hotel cannot turn you away and they cannot inflate the price. Now, can they turn you away if you have some rare species or monkeys? Absolutely. But a dog, cat, or a pocket pet? No. They're supposed to accept you and not inflate the price. So these are things that a lot of people don't understand and really should go to their city legislature and their senator's office and really try to understand the code of ethics during a state of an emergency so that they know and are armed with the information to be able to be sheltered properly, as well as get your local emergency app so that you know where to go. Red Cross is a fabulous app. We're building an app. VEMA will be building an app, and that'll be out next year to tell you what clinics are available, vet clinics, Red Crosses to go to with your pets, VCA charities. Majority of VCAs open up their facilities for boarding during disaster. Most people don't know that, and that's Veterinary Centers of America. You know, these are all things to definitely learn and educate yourself about when evacuating. And when they do tell you to evacuate, you need to evacuate. Your home is just a home. It's a vessel. If you lose it, I understand it is devastating. But if you lose your life or your animals, it's far more devastating than an item. So it's really important to get out. You put people at risk when you stay. So very, very important.
I think as you're talking, Darlene, about being prepared, it was last year in my area of Southern California, there was a thankfully very small contained fire that did not destroy homes. Probably a decade previously, Laguna Canyon is an area that loves to go up in flames, and just a tremendous number of homes were destroyed. In my hospital, we took in a lot of animals for people that were living there in Laguna Beach from some of the animal hospitals that were in the canyon. They brought their pets to us that they were taking care of. But last year when it happened to me, I was at work. And they were fortunate to have a reverse 911 system, but they did not contact me. But I'm going, my animals are at home and I'm at work and I can't get there. What are people supposed to do for that situation?
Right. It's great to have a network of neighbors, friends, you know, making sure, like in my neighborhood, we have everybody on a group text in the event of an emergency. So I can literally send one text message to everybody in my block, and I'm sure somebody's going to be there. And I hope that, right? Call the fire department if they're available. Have a sign at your door saying there's pets inside. It is important to make sure that people do know that you have pets. That's why people put funny signs on the front of their door saying, beware of dog, and, you know, all of those things. Make sure that they're aware of it. Animal control will also help if needed. If you can't get through the line and you've been at work and you can't get through, you can call your local animal control services. They will help get across the line and potentially get to your house as fast as possible if it's safe.
And there's only so many of them
very important
for animal control. I'm sure they're being called. That's a great idea.
Right. There's only so many of them, which is why a network is so important. Let everybody know about the situation at your home when you're not there.
And we have the same, and I love your idea, we have the same situation in my neighborhood. So we have a group text, and I have a cling on my window that says, in case there is a fire emergency, whatever, that there's two kitties inside. And I've also heard that if you do evacuate and you have such a sign, if you have the time, cross out, you know, that the animals are there, make a notation that the pets have been evacuated. And speaking of evacuating pets, I love your idea of having the carriers and the crates. But oftentimes we have our, you know, carriers in the garage and they're up in the rafters and you need to leave now. What are some of the suggestions you have for emergency carriers? What can you use?
Right. So there's great collapsible carriers that are easily stored in a closet. So I think, you know, everybody should make sure that their preparedness items are easily accessible, whether that be in a garage lower down where you get everything into your car right there, your food items, your preparedness, your first aid kits, your pet first aid kit, everything should be easily accessible, including the items that you want to take with you, right? So this is why it's very important on first sign of evacuation. A lot of times there are non-mandatory evacuations and where they say, hey, this is just at your choice. I would suggest you start. That's when you should go home. That's when you should say, oh no, there's a fire broken. It's close enough that I should go home and start preparing. But all of those items should be at a throw's stone. So whether that be in a closet right by your front door, in an office closet or a space, a cabinet or a cabinet in your garage, they should be easily accessible. And I was just talking to my husband about this, about my photos. My photo albums were up in an attic. I'm not going to go up in an attic if we have to evacuate. The last fire that just happened over in Moore Park in Simi Valley was right by my house. And it made me think, wow, I'm the preparedness person and I left my photos up there. That's not okay. We brought our photos down. We put it next to our preparedness items because that's an item that's near and dear to me. And I didn't even think about that. What would I take? What are the most important things for me that if I were to lose everything that I would want to take? And those are the items that I thought about. My albums are very important to me. So I'm going to put them in a place where I can easily grab and go.
And, you know, there's so many things that you want to put in that car of yours and trying to decide. It's like, okay, do I take this? Do I take that? Do I leave this behind? Photos, yes. I mean, the memories, you cannot replace those. So with so many people, you know, we're the age where we still have lots of photo albums and things like that. Taking the time to go ahead and actually, to go ahead and scan them.
Right. Digital is everything now, you know, and that is a great way to prepare, is putting everything on digital CDs or digital component on the cloud so that all of your old photo albums from histories beyond, I mean, these are my grandmother's photos as well. So are all in a digital component. I definitely think that that's a fabulous idea. Making sure too that you've cataloged the things in your home periodically. One of the things that our app is going to have is a catalog system, where you can take images of very important, expensive things in your home, because if you do have a total loss, insurance is going to need those things. And the majority of the people that we met after devastation couldn't even remember what was in their home. I mean, it's such a shock. It's such a trauma. It's hard to remember all of these items. So it is important to catalog everything, including pictures of your pets, identifying markers, microchip numbers. Make sure you have an app with your veterinary clinic to get your medical paperwork, or have a digital on your email or some way to access the pet records.
One of the things you were mentioning, Darlene, and it's so true. It's like, okay, what did I have? What was in that room? Oh, I can't remember. And as we're chatting right now, it's like, oh yes, I should probably do this again. Most of us on our phones have a video app. So go through each room with your phone on and just record quickly going through the room, looking at everything, looking at the walls, looking at the furniture. So if you do have to put in the claim going, this is what it looked like before the fire, it's like, oh, okay. And, oh, I forgot about that. So you actually have photos. Yes, they're great. And videos. It's so easy. Just walk through your house, walk outside, walk around, take pictures of everything. And then it's on the cloud somewhere. And hopefully you're not losing your phone, because if I were to lose my phone or my computer, it's like, that would be disaster. So have a hard drive backup someplace too.
Absolutely. And have somebody help you if you're not of the generation of technology. You know, we have to keep in mind we have a lot of generations here, some that are really great with technology and some that aren't. Have your children help you, or a family member help you, or a friend help you to catalog those things if you're not technology savvy.
And depending on how cautiously neurotic you want to be in situations like this, I think the more cautious we can be, the better. A very good girlfriend of mine that lives here in Southern California, she's originally from Michigan, and she got the training when she was back there with all the storms and everything else that she had to put up with in her dog room, as she would call it. That's where the dogs were kenneled at night. She had on each of their crates, because they were all crated at night, their own emergency backpack with extra leashes and collars and food. She had in each of the bedrooms in a fairly decent sized house, she had an emergency kit. And it's like, so if the back end of the house falls into the abyss of Southern California, that front half, you'll still be okay because you have your emergency kit. It wasn't in the back of the house. So you can have lots of kits all over. I have one in my car, so it has shoes. It has some of my animal supplies. I have a backpack, one for me, one for the pets in my downstairs closet, so I can get to it easily. And hopefully, I never need it. And you go through your supplies every once in a while. Oh, speaking of supplies, what should you have in these kits?
Right. So as far as pet kits are concerned, you want to make sure that you have a first aid kit and, you know, make sure that it's one that is usable and good for animals. That's very, very important. A lot of pet first aid kits are human products that they kind of just put pet first aid on it, but the tapes and stuff don't work, so it's not really going to be helpful. So make sure that it's one that's actually created for animals using animal products. Make sure that if you have a cat, that you have a collapsible litter box. They're very easy to find. They fold up into a very small little square that you can put inside your emergency kit, and you just pop that open so that if you're in your car at a Red Cross or you're in a shelter, you have a litter box and a way for them to actually use the restroom. For dogs, cats, leashes are very important. Make sure that you have an extra leash or a collar or harness. Make sure that you have food source. Lots of animals are on special foods and special diets, and that's okay. And it's okay for you to put a little bag aside, but you're going to have to constantly be changing that because those expire very quickly. You know, in our kits, we actually developed a food that was vacuum sealed so that it lasts for 5 years on the shelf life. It may not be your dog's favorite food, but in a disaster situation, you only need to last about 3 days. So the studies have shown 3 to 5 days at max. So as long as you have something to at least get you through so that you can get to a store or you can get the appropriate food for your pet, have that as a backup.
Some food is better than no food, you're right.
Right, and very important to have a reliable sourced food. You know, one thing that we noticed at the fire was a lot of people were dropping off their open bags of food to help donate. Well, you don't know how long that's been open, if it's moldy, if there's something wrong with it. And the last thing you need is your dog to get sick or your cat to get sick or your pet to get sick. So make sure that you have something like that. And you can even vacuum seal your own food.
Great idea.
You know, to make it last a little bit longer. So put that into a kit and have that available. Water. There are many, many kits out there that have sustainable water where it's sealed and you can just throw a few pouches in there to make sure that you have some water available. When floods happen, hurricanes happen, a lot of times the water sources are very dirty. So you may not have a water source for a little while until FEMA comes in or they're standing to hand out water bottles. So you need to make sure that you've got something to last a few days until resources come to you.
And they do have the water purifiers. Yeah, the water purifiers, right. Like when you're camping.
Right.
I have that in my own bag. It's a straw. So, you know, I can use that for me, and I'm sure that I can suck up some water and put it in a bowl for the cat. Sorry, kitties. You know, you're going to get secondhand water. But
yeah,
at least
charcoal tablets. They have all sorts of things out there that you can source to make water, you know, potable and easy for you to actually drink and your pet.
And because it is going to be a stressful time and you may have the nicest dog in the entire world and really sweet kitties, but especially dogs, if you're going to have them out and about, they're on a leash, maybe they're not in their crate because they're with you. There's other dogs around, other people around, they're stressed, you're stressed. And that best dog could all of a sudden go, I really am unhappy with everyone around me, and strike out and bite someone, you don't need that hassle. So even having a cage muzzle so they can open their mouth, they can breathe more easily, but now you don't have to worry about your pet accidentally biting somebody just because it was stressed. And bring some toys along too. They need something to keep themselves occupied.
Right. And there's great products like Adaptil, Fill-Away, that are calming products. Remember, just as much as you are stressed, they're feeling that stress threefold. So you want to make sure that you have stuff in your kit, which we provide in our kit as well, is Adaptil collars or some sort of calming sprays that help kind of relax them. There's a lot of talk about CBD oil and all of that. It actually does work. It's a great pain management. It's a great calming effect. So all of these things can help with anxiety during fires, making sure you have an appropriate crate for them too, so that people don't reach in and try to pet them in a sheltering situation, and you can take them out for a walk very calmly and ask people not to come up during that time of stress to come pet them and play with them, unless you're pretty confident that they're not stressed. Some dogs handle it very, very well, and some dogs don't. You know your dog best. Cage muzzles are definitely great for that. Making sure that you ask for a blanket the minute you get to a shelter to cover your cat's carrier.
Great idea.
Keeping them in a sheltered area away from dogs and where they can't really see with all the commotion helps cats immensely, because they can get something called idiopathic cystitis, which is where they get almost like a bladder infection signs, but it's really just where their bladder gets inflamed and they start having bloody urine. You can avoid that by having de-stressors for them. Maybe even a collapsible little bed or a box, even just getting a cardboard box from the shelter or from animal control and putting it inside the crate so they can hide inside the cardboard box is so helpful to these animals, bunnies, pocket pets, cats, all of those.
These are great ideas. I know, Darlene, you have lots more, but we're going to take a short break right now. We're going to be back with my guest, Darlene Geeky, a registered veterinary technician, veterinary practice owner, and president of VEMA. We'll be right back after the short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
So now I've got this pack of four Shar Pei rescue dogs, Jimmy, Coco, another Shar Pei, one pug who is Joe. I have stuck with the Dinovite for, oh my goodness, probably 5-6 years.
DINOVITE.com.
People remark on really how well my dogs look, what beautiful coats they've got. I tell them, yep, they get a regular diet of Dinovite with every meal.
Dinovite is nutrition.
All I have to do is say dog food. It's a pandemonium. They can be half asleep, and they're up and thrilled.
She just looks that bowl squeaky clean.
You don't need to wait until a problem presents itself. It's far better to keep the dog happy and healthy at all times.
Dinovite for life.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
People do ask how they get Dinovite. I tell them I get my Dinovite from DINOVITE.com.
Let's talk pets. Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Darlene, I can tell with this conversation that we can go on for hours and hours. There's just so much that I think people don't even think about until all of a sudden it's like, oh, yes, you know, I do need to bring several days of food and a collapsible kitty box. What else should they have in their carriers? Because sometimes, sadly, you might need to be separated from your pet. So what other things do you need for the safeguarding of your pet's health and getting it back to you?
Right. I mean, I think we've spoken about majority of the things such as first aid and collar, leashes. You know, we have a hand crank flashlight in ours. We also have a can opener because sometimes some animals won't eat dry food. So you need to put a few cans in there if they don't eat any dry food. And the first thing that we forget when we camp, right, and we just go out on holiday is a can opener. Yeah. So make sure you have a can opener in there. That really helps significantly. Also make sure that you have medical records. Yes,
perfect.
We're on the same page. Medical records, microchip number, very important to have all of those things in there. Images, again, digital images, if you can, of your pet, because if they are singed in a fire, let's say you were trying to capture them and they ran off, right? You still want that first aid kit. If they're singed, sometimes it's hard to identify them. So you want to make sure, I can't stress this enough, please microchip your pet. Majority of the animals that we found in the fires, we treated 206 in Woolsey Fire, and majority of them were not microchipped. Mm-hmm. It was very difficult to find owners. Some of the animals were unrecognizable until they grew all their fur back, and by then they're already adopted to new families. You could really lose your pet by just not having identifying markers. Tattoos, microchip, any of those things are very important. Images of what paw was white versus black, little spots on them, you know, all of those things. The color of their eyes are very helpful. And then medical records, were they spayed, were they not spayed? All of these things are helpful to us to identify the owners when we're doing veterinary care.
And one of the things, clients will bring in their cats and, you know, sometimes a little on the pudgy side, you know, definitely well cared for animals. It's like, so does your cat wear identification at home? Oh no, it's totally indoors. Well, earthquakes, fires, floods in the vernacular happens. And now this kitty is outside, though it knows its name, it's not going to come to anyone. And oftentimes people don't realize, oh, microchips. You know, this is if it's not a major disaster or somebody just picks up your kitty and doesn't know that there's a microchip and where do I take it, etc. So I agree with you. Microchips are absolute lifesavers, but I love all pets, even indoor cats, to wear collars and kitties, those breakaway collars. So it gives them a chance in case they do get caught on something that it's going to break open and they can escape the collar. But Darlene, this is a question I've always had. If there is an emergency and for whatever sad reason, you cannot, like my cats, one of my cats is just this scared kitty. And for me to try to catch the cat under the best of conditions, like take it to my office for an exam, is not easy. So do you leave them in the house with everything closed up? Do you open the doors so hopefully they escape? What should you do?
So you're saying in a situation where you have to evacuate without your cat?
Yes. Or somebody, I'm not at home. My neighbors try to come in and they can't catch my cats.
Right.
Do they just leave the doors closed and pray, open the doors and so they can try to escape? Do they?
Right. So they will escape.
Okay.
Majority of cats are really intuitive. And the minute the smoke gets too close, they will run. Whether or not they run into the fire or they run away really just depends on disorientation. But a lot of cats have been saved by just being able to get out. You definitely don't want to trap them into your home, you know, especially if the fire is definitely close. It is best that they have a way out if the fire is definitely in critical closeness to your home and proximity. If this is a temporary evacuation and you're not sure what direction it is and you're just trying to bide time to get home, then they should stay and hunker down in the home. Either way, regardless, if the fire is getting close to the home, that animal will most likely find a way out. A window propped open, a screen, they will get through that screen. And if they can't, unfortunately, we all know what will happen. But you have to do the best thing that you can do and the best choice, right? But at the end of the day, human lives are very important and we don't want to risk human lives. And, you know, as sad as it is, you make the right choice based on where the fire is or where the emergency is for that animal and hope for the best. But again, being prepared sometimes eliminates that choice by having a network of people and maybe even having a community that preps together how to get a kitty into a carrier when they're very scared. But sometimes you just don't have a choice. Sometimes they're just so scared that there's no way of getting them into a carrier and you have to give them an option of an out.
Darlene, I know we've been talking about dogs and cats, and probably the majority of the people listening to this show have a dog, a cat, pocket pets, etc. But I'm sure many of them also have larger animals, having the pet goat or having the horse. I'm
right.
Sure you've had experience trying to evacuate those also. What are some of your words of wisdom for these people?
Again, preparedness is everything. One of the things that we have realized through these fires is how many people have goats and pigs and don't know how to trailer them or get them into a trailer. or get them off their property or move them at all. I think when you own an animal and maybe another species that isn't just like a dog or a cat that listens to commands, that it is very important to prepare yourself and educate yourself on how to move those animals around your property. Having a trailer is imperative when you have horses, goats, and pigs. There are a lot of trailer, you know, magazines, a lot of older trailers that can be spruced up and renovated so that they can be used for this thing. But it is imperative. And having a network on Facebook, there is an evacuation network for horses where you can, there are groups that have been created and you can actually say, hey, I need help. And these people are trained. They bring trailers. They come. They help get your horses out. If you don't have a moment's notice and you have to get them out quickly, as you've seen people fleeing their horses away or letting their goats out and their pigs, you know, doing the best you can to get them back into trucks, getting them into cars. And if you let them go, please make sure they have a harness. They need to have a harness on them so that they can be captured more easily. There are great horse evacuation podcasts as well as on YouTube trainings on how to do that and make sure that they're prepared. Do not lock your stalls. We've learned those lessons. People lock them with padlocks because they're afraid that people might come in, but then they can't find the keys because they're so stressed and then they can't get them open and get the horses out of there. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's really just about prepping your facility, prepping your home, doing little evacuation drills. What are we going to do in the event of an evacuation and who's going to go to what first and who's responsible for what if we are here? If we are not here, who's my network that I will call to help me get these animals out? There are plenty of people out there that are trained in this. CERT teams, your local CERT, let them know who you are. Let them know what animals you have.
What is CERT?
CERT is a certified emergency rescue team.
Thank you.
A lot of communities have certified rescue teams. You can call your fire department and find out about these. Some are called DART, some are called CART, some are called CERT. But most communities have these. And if you are part of your local community evacuation teams or emergency teams, then your city can also give you this information. And you become close with them when you have lots of animals on your property, they will know where to go to help you. They're part of your network if you're not there. So you definitely want to create that community network environment for disaster relief.
So somebody listening to you right now going, CERT, that sounds like a good idea. They contact their community government and find they don't have it. This would be a great way to get involved. How did you get involved in this? We don't have a lot more time, but how did you get involved in emergency preparedness and disaster response?
Well, I own a veterinary hospital, as you know, and also a nonprofit called the Little Angels Project. And in the Thomas Fire and then the Woolsey Fire, Camp Fire, and then all the fires that we've had this year, over that time after Thomas Fire, we realized the need. During Woolsey Fire, we were evacuated and we created a disaster relief program. And then we were able to effectively help during the Ridgecrest earthquake. And we built a community around us in disaster relief. That's where VEMA came along. We realized how many people were not prepared. And VEMA really is about preparedness. Each kit goes back to the nonprofit disaster relief program that is sold. So when you buy a kit that has everything in it that you need so you don't have to think about it, you're not only helping your own pets and yourself be prepared, but you're also giving back to a disaster relief program that helps others be prepared that maybe can't afford it, as well as helps us get to Red Cross shelters and provide free veterinary care during disaster. And that's really how I got into it. I just saw a need and I wanted to make a difference. And we created that medical aspect to be able to make a difference in people and animals' lives.
I had an opportunity to see the contents of your VEMA disaster pet first aid evacuation kit. It is fabulous. I mean, it really has so much, yes, to protect the pet, but it's also protecting the family at the same time.
Right. And we wanted to think outside the box. We noticed in all of our research that most pet emergency kits were just human first aid kits. We wanted to bring the veterinary aspect. Let's bring the vet into your home so that you have all the supplies that me as a nurse use every single day, all of the things that we know work on animals and help animals in distress. And then also bring the education to you with our disaster relief app so that you know how to put a bandage on properly. So you have time to get to the veterinary clinic and you save time for your pet in distress and they're not suffering or, you know, hurting while you're waiting to get to where you need to go and get the resources that you need to be able to afford it.
Well, people are interested and hopefully they are because pets are such an important part of our family. They can go to our website, Pet Life Radio, go to Pet Doctor. They'll see the link to the VEMA. But right now, tell us how they can learn more about it.
They can definitely go to VEMASolutions.com or thelittleangelsproject.org, and you can learn about all of our programs, what's coming out, what we're planning on doing. Our app will be out next year. Our kits are for sale now. They will be all delivered by beginning of next year. And yeah, you know, get involved. Become an ambassador for us as well and spread the word and help us help others get prepared. I think it takes a community to solve a community problem. And you can definitely take any of our resources and help your friends also get prepared.
Well, thank you so much, Darlene. Great information. VEMA is a wonderful resource. The American Red Cross, they also have a lot of information on pet preparedness and disaster response. So get your information, be prepared. Tune in again next week when we can give you more information on how to make you the best possible pet owner. This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Thank you so much for listening.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life because they're a member of the family. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.